the men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning, and there's always good food. You know that. Just wanted to encourage others to come and be a part of that as we enjoy that once a month. Next month, we are and have invited the women to join us for our men's prayer time. And so it will be in everybody's prayer time, but breakfast shared. We also expect that next month we will probably have at least some of our Ukrainian brothers and sisters from the Ukrainian Baptist Church that sometime in the next couple of weeks will begin to meet here on Sunday afternoons. And just wanted you to be mindful of that. Continue to pray as we work out details with them. And we look forward to sharing that which God has given us as a blessing with them as they move forward into the life of their church and all of that. I think partnership is always challenging, right? But it's such a sweet blessing and such a good thing. And I'm really looking forward to it. So God is good. As we open up God's word this morning, if you're paying attention to what I'm doing here, I'm opening up a hymnal. There's a reason for that, and I'll help you understand that in a moment or two. But I want to remind you that we're coming to the last message right now of the series that I've been preaching that really takes its root in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. And I'd like to read those as we establish once again kind of that foundation, lay that framework for where we've been and where we're going today. And so as we do that, feel free to follow along with me as I read from Acts chapter 2. And this first part, we haven't given a lot of attention to over the course of the series. It's just a part of where the people were at that point and what was being taught. This is a part of a big sermon that Peter preached. And this sermon led many, it says about 3,000, to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beginning in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, "Be saved from this corrupt generation." So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and their property and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of the early church. It's exciting. And we give praise to you for this that has been recorded for our benefit and for our understanding of what took place in the days very early after, Lord Jesus, you gave your life upon the cross. And after Then after the third day, you were raised, and then later you ascended into heaven. Lord, we come today to remember these things. We come today because you have set these things in front of us, and we thank you for how the church has in the past, is currently charged with this great responsibility and will continue into the years ahead until you come again. Lord Jesus, increase our faith and our trust in all that you are. Use this time now for your pleasure and glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is, to me, very exciting. And as we come to this moment, we have, of course, we spent the first part of the series with an introductory portion, and then the next few messages took these things from verse 42. And the first, of course, was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which we very clearly identified that the apostles' teaching was the Word of God. Remember that even in the book of Acts in the 6th and 7th chapters, the early apostles were struggling with the massive and explosive growth, and they were being tasked with so much responsibility, and so they assigned responsibility to others in order that they could, what? Give their attention to the Word and to prayer. And so that was what the apostles were all about. They were about both knowing and teaching the Word of God. And so when we say the apostles' teaching, we're talking about the Word of God. And then they devoted themselves also to the fellowship, to helping people walk together in Christ. That's really what they were about. And to the fellowship of actually doing this thing of walking together in Christ. And then it says to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Last week, we did a little leapfrog and did the breaking, or excuse me, being devoted to prayer last week. And it came with a challenge, if you'll remember, to participate in one of the existing or the new groups that will be forming to gather people together for prayer as we move forward in the life of our church. But I leapfrogged because I knew that today we would be observing the Lord's Supper. And so when it came to the part of being devoted to the breaking of bread, I thought, it'll just fit. And I don't think we'll be doing any harm to the Scripture by taking things just slightly out of order in the messages. And so here today, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. We, of course, in our church life, experience the breaking of bread once every month on the first Sunday each month. As you come the first Sunday of each month, you can expect that that will be taking place as part of our worship experience. I don't always preach a sermon that's all about that, but today we want to just take a little bit different look. And as we remember this phrase that goes across in remembrance of me, and then what Jesus said, and of course, to his disciples, do this, or this do, in remembrance of me. We want to just know what it is we're remembering. This is such an important experience in the life of the church, and we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ need to kind of go back to the very beginning sometimes in our own personal experiences. I found it interesting as I was concluding preparation for my message and actually kind of had made a shift from one song to another yesterday we rehearsed a bit. And we chose to sing hymn number 367. If you want to look in your hymnals, you've all got them right in front of you. You can look at the words of as we gather around the table and just be mindful of that. But I think it's really, I just, as I sang those verses of that song, I realized, you know, that's kind of a nutshell, a nice nutshell and a nice order of things that we're remembering. And so we're going to pay attention to this reality and look at the importance of the breaking of bread from the context of these things that we are remembering, because I believe not only it is about the breaking of bread, it's about remembering Jesus. And that's so important for us. But before we move too fast into that, though, I'd like to, I'm not sure where my little piece of notes are. There it is. I'd like for us to take note of a couple of other portions of Scripture in Acts chapter 20. And beginning in verse 7, actually I'm going to read verse 7 and then I'm going to skip down to verse, actually I'll probably read verses 7 through 11, where it says, "On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. And Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he kept on talking until midnight." Woo! You ready? No. Nobody's ready, huh? Okay, all right. Well, okay, I promise. And since he was about to depart the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on talking. And when he was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, bent over him, embraced him, and said, "Don't be alarmed, because he's alive." After going upstairs, breaking the bread and eating, Paul talked a long time until dawn, and then he left. They brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. What a long church service, right? A gathering of the people in a room, and at midnight, somebody dies, he gets raised from the dead, and then they keep going till morning. What an amazing experience that they had. But at the beginning of that very first verse, it says, they assembled to break bread. And then again, they broke bread after going upstairs. And it just simply tells us that as they were gathered together, they were doing some remembering. They were remembering Jesus. They were spending some time together. And then in Acts chapter 27, brothers, what verse did I give you there? Beginning of verse 33. Okay, that's what I thought. And so there it says, when it was about daylight, let's set the stage just a little bit. They had been out on the seas, and they were in a storm-tossed ship, and everybody was pretty uptight. When it was about daylight, Paul urged them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you've been waiting and going without food, having eaten nothing. So I urge you to take some food, for this is for your survival, since none of you will lose a hair from your head." After he said these things and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them, and after he broke it, he began to eat. And they all were encouraged and took food themselves. In all, there were 276 of us on the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing the grain overboard into the sea. And even with that, after that, there was a shipwreck. But here are some wonderful words of encouragement that Paul gave to the people and said, you need to eat. You need to take that which is necessary for your sustenance. And yet there was still the recognition as he took bread and he began to eat that. It tells that he broke it and they were all encouraged and took food themselves. Now, I'm going to go back to Acts 2 just to take note again of the verses that follow. From 42, of course, it tells us they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. But then in verse 45, as it speaks about how they related to one another and had fellowship with one another, they sold possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. But every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people every day. Now, I wanted to look at each of those brief portions because I feel like it's important that we understand that the breaking of bread is so significant, of course, surrounding what we call the Lord's Supper, what we experience as we join together for this time of worship. And we remind ourselves of who Jesus is and what he has done. But it was important for the sake of that, and the Christians were doing that everywhere they went. But I think there's a lot of evidence that they broke bread just for good food and good fellowship and good meals together. It was a good thing that they would break their bread together and they would eat their food. And I think it's just really valuable to see in those two verses, 46 and 47, that they broke their bread from house to house. Now, that can suggest several things to us. One, it could suggest that they were remembering Jesus everywhere they went. I think that's so appropriate for us to think in that way, that they remembered Jesus everywhere they went. There was not a time anywhere that they would spend very much time together where they would not be talking about what it was that Jesus had done for them. And in fact, how in the world could anybody be saved if we don't tell them what Jesus has done for us? And of course, the symbolic work of breaking bread and the sharing of the cup is such an important picture for us as we help people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, though, they also ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. And so they weren't doing exactly what we do on the first Sunday of every month. They were, of course, I think, being very careful to remember Jesus and to share in the unity and the fellowship that brought for them. But they also were celebrating and enjoying the provision that God had given them, sharing meals and eating together from house to house. And that's an encouragement for us along the way. So we see that those things took place. The Apostle Paul, with the shipwreck that was about to happen, said, guys, we're going to need some food. You're going to need some sustenance. You're going to need some strength. And so take some food. There was probably some talk about Jesus in there. We don't have the manuscript. But the important thing in that moment was to take some food. And so they shared food. They broke bread together. And my friends, breaking bread together brings much encouragement. I think that's something so important for you and me. When you remember the times that you have spent with someone else who is a lover of Jesus, and you have gathered together and shared a meal together and talked about your faith and the love that Jesus has for you and for everyone, are you not encouraged? Perhaps you can look back at some times that you've spent over your table or the table of someone who had invited you to come, or perhaps over the tables that we will enjoy a meal this afternoon. Perhaps those times have brought such encouragement to you that you've been able to go to your next day and take your next step and discover the things that the Lord our God has for you. Breaking bread is such an important experience, and it's all about remembering Jesus. So now I want to take just a brief minute and give some focus to what we find here in the song as we gather around the table. Because I think it gives us a little three-point sermonette. I'm not going to preach a big three-point sermon, okay? But a little three-point understanding of what it is that we're remembering. Okay? And so here we are in the very first verse. It says, as we gather around the table of our Lord, we recall his humble birth in Bethlehem, as the angels sang and as the shepherds came, let us adore and worship the Lord let us remember him. All right, so what are we remembering there? Remember what? First of all, we want to remember who he is. We want to remember who Jesus is. The whole incarnation story, the whole story of Christmas, the whole story of Jesus coming as a baby born in the manger in Bethlehem, the whole reason for that is to reveal to us and to have the living, eternal God take up human form and become a man. Well, he became a baby first. But we remember that God came to man. That's, I think, the real key to that verse. God came to man. That's what we remember. Let us remember that God came to us, that God has done these things, that God revealed himself to us. And we could spend a lot of time. We could go back and see how God revealed himself throughout all of the Old Testament in the ways and the great and mighty things that he has done. We could spend some more time even talking about the stories of Jesus, how he fed the 5,000 in the breaking of the bread, how he again fed the 4,000 in the breaking of the bread, and how on the seashore, the disciples, he said, "You want some breakfast?" And he said, "Where did he get fish? We're the fishermen. Where did Jesus get fish?" But he fed them, and they joyfully experienced those things together. And you see, God came, and he revealed himself to us. We need to remember that. When you go to work tomorrow, you need to know that God has come and revealed himself to you and for everyone. When you have time and struggles with your family, when you are encouraging your neighbors, pardon me, I guess I should take a breath every once in a while. When you are out and about and you see someone who is struggling, all they really need is a kind word and a smile. Or perhaps they need to hear that Jesus loves them and that you are a representative of that love for them. Along the way, you need to help people remember that God has revealed himself, and you need to help others know that he has indeed revealed himself. Who he is, remember who Jesus is, and that he is the eternal God. The eternal God. From before until forever. The Alpha and the Omega. Who he is. Remember that. We want to remember that. And then we look at the second stanza of the hymn, where it says, "As we gather around the table of the Lord, we recall his agony upon the cross. There our Savior died, alone was crucified. Let us adore and worship the Lord. Let us remember him." We want to remember what he's done. Yes, we need to remember who he is, because who he is makes him worthy. And we've sung songs today about that worthiness. But who he is makes him worthy, makes him the right person for the job to pay the penalty, because he's the only one who had the resources, the only one who had the spiritual fortitude and power and perfection and holiness and righteousness. The only one who was able to do that. And he has done it. He has done it. We want to remember that. He paid the price for you and for me. He is the one who is able. Remember that. And then the last thing we want to remember from verse 3. As we gather around the table of our Lord, we recall the empty tomb where he was laid. He is living still, our longing hearts to fill. Let us adore and worship the Lord. Let us remember him. Now, verse 2 really talks about the crucifixion. But understand that when he was laid in the tomb, the only thing that it says about the resurrection there is that there's an empty tomb. All right? Because he was laid there. But we recall the empty tomb where he was laid. And we know that because the tomb is empty, he is alive. And that is the last thing we want to remember. We want to remember that he is risen. We can never forget that Christ is alive and he lives, and he's available, and he dwells within each one of us as his Holy Spirit has indwelt us and taken place in our hearts and in our lives. He is risen. If he is not risen, that's right. Thank you. Let's try that one more time because it's not Easter. We're not thinking about it. But let me say it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right. Thank you. All right. We kind of get warmed up for that around Easter time. But you preach about the resurrection some other time. And, what? Oh, yeah. Guess we need to remember, right? We need to spend some time focused and intentionally remembering that he is risen. So as we come to the table today, yes, indeed, we must remember his sacrifice. And we must remember that it was his body that was broken for us, for our sin. It was his blood that was poured out as a final offering of sacrifice, where Colossians tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And his was the final sacrificial offering. He was the last sacrifice lamb. And he alone is worthy. And so today, we remember that. We remember who he is. He is the eternal God. We remember what he's done. He has paid the penalty for our sin. And we remember that he is risen. He indeed is alive. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, these verses are so important as we share the gospel with people. But these verses in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. But do you believe, truly believe, that God has raised Jesus from the dead? That's worth remembering. That's worth shouting about. That's worth sharing from day to day, from house to house. In the time of breaking bread together, we remember that Jesus is alive. And he is king. And he's coming again. There's not a fourth verse in there, so I don't get to preach that one. But we can remind ourselves that he will come yet again. So, we are dedicated, or we are devoted, to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God. Are you spending time memorizing God's Word? Are you devoted to the fellowship of the body of Christ? Do you have relationships with people where you're an encouragement and where you receive also encouragement in Christ, to live the life that God has called us to live? Are you devoted to the breaking of bread, to sharing together? I don't know how you separate fellowship and breaking bread. You just really don't. But are you also devoted to prayer? You see, it's when we come together and give ourselves to the Lord in prayer that we find our greatest hope, we live our greatest victory, and we discover that God will never leave us or forsake us. His word is true. Today, my friends, if you in your life have not come to that moment where you have said, Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I submit to you today and recognize that my relationship with you is broken. It's dead. But Lord Jesus, I come to you to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. I commit myself to leave my sinfulness behind. I repent and choose to not do those things that are an offense to you, O God, that bring separation, that produce death. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. If that's the desire of your heart today, and it's never taken place before, then I would so encourage you, even now, as we come to the close of this service, to make that decision and to demonstrate your faith in Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, don't let time go by, because we have the time of our past life, and I don't mean another existence, of the life that we have lived up to now. And we have the time that is remaining, but we don't know how much is remaining. We all have loved ones who thought they would be around a lot longer than they were. We don't get it all the time, but we don't know what's out there. No matter your age, you don't know what your future is. Through the tragedies of this past week, a couple of air accidents that have taken the lives of way too many, the fires in Southern California that took the lives of a good number of people, yet surprisingly not as many as we might have expected. Through all of these things, we don't have tomorrow guaranteed. We don't. I'm going to get in my car, and I don't know what somebody else is going to do out there. I'm going to do my best to drive safely. I'm going to spend all of my days doing everything that I do, but I don't know what's coming. Neither does that one who lost their life this last week or yesterday or whenever it was. Sometimes illness takes us sooner than we expect. Trust in Jesus today, because the reality of that is whatever you have remaining in life here will, number one, be filled with greater joy, will be filled with greater purpose and understanding of what life is all about, and it will give you opportunity also to help others come to put their trust and faith in Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter your age, we need to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's the case for you, do that now. Other decisions may be taking place in your heart and your mind. You're thinking about this and that. But let God have His way as we come to this time of response. Father, we ask that You will be glorified and that You'll be known in every heart. Lord, if You're triggering someone to say yes to Jesus, help them to take that step today to say yes, to receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Father, if You're calling us to a greater commitment to the life of prayer, then Lord Jesus, help us to make the commitment to that, even today, and be serious about finding that opportunity and joining up with others who will cry out to You in prayer. Father, may it be that Your word becomes so important to every one of us that we'll be able to speak boldly to others about our faith and to help them know that Your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts through the garbage. It cuts through to reveal the truth about us and about life and about Your promises. Lord, we come and we pray that You will be magnified. Maybe we need to be committed to sharing a meal with someone this week. Who will that be? I don't know. But God, may we commit ourselves to those things for Your glory, for Your pleasure, for the good of the church, and for the life of the body of Christ. Lord, we love You and we thank You. Help us in these commitments in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing. And I pray that you will be able to demonstrate your response. One of the ways you can demonstrate your response is to come and tell me. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. They'll turn my mic off, so not the whole world will hear. but they will. You can tell me that, hey, I'm wanting to receive Jesus as my Savior and I need help. Or I've done this and I want to rejoice with the church. That'd be a wonderful thing. Maybe some other decisions that are going on in your life. Let God do what he wants to do with you and in you as we worship today. Let's stand together and sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.